What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Start up your Monday right here on B&E. Appreciate you being there. Good to meet you if you're out at the Mullet Open on Friday. Good to see you again. If not, hope you had a great weekend. Whatever you were doing, taking in Texas baseball. Longhorns 5-0 now in the postseason after back-to-back wins. A thriller on Saturday night and then a dominant performance last night. We'll recap it. We're going to talk coming up in our coach's corner of good buddy Ty Harrington, who was in attendance for both games over the weekend. What he saw from this Longhorn group that's headed back to Omaha for the 37th time, which is the most ever. And it's not just a team that can get to Omaha, Buck. It's a ball club that could do some damage when they get there.
Absolutely.
Because they're built with a lot of things you like about the DNA of this team. Obviously, the talent is there. They can hit, they can run, they can pitch, both starting and bullpen, despite what Tanner Witt dealt with in the ninth inning on Saturday night. But they also have a resiliency to them and a toughness that you like a lot. When they get punched, they punch back, as we saw on Saturday night again, and then last night falling behind 2-0 early, but never blink. And there's a lot of good DNA in this ball club, not just talent.
When you look at this team, I mean, is this a club that will be bringing back? I know, obviously, the number one starter has a decision to make. Does he come back to college if he's going to be a first-round draft choice or one of the top draft choices? You're probably going to leave, especially when it comes to baseball. Most of the time, they're on their way. But is this a team that's a young team that still has a lot of returning guys? Will we be coming back again?
Yeah, I mean, obviously they'll lose the Zach Zubias of the world, and Ty Madden almost certainly is going to be gone. But, man, you know, Tanner Witt, who's your closer, mm-hmm. probably becomes one of your weekend starters when you move forward. Remember, Tanner Witt, out of the city of Houston, he's a great position player. I mean, he could be one of the guys that plays shortstop, plays the position, and pitches. I mean, he's that talented, uber talented. I mean, Aaron Nixon is a young player. I mean, they're still very young in key places. And, again, that's another thing you like about this team, the mix of veterans and youth
right.
that they bring to the table for the Longhorns. And one of the things, and we'll talk to Ty Harrington about this here coming up, the former Texas State skipper and former Longhorn great, who was at both games. But, I mean, David Pierce has done a heck of a job with this roster. You know, it's a good thing. It's a blessing and a curse to have that many players. Remember, the seniors that should have moved on didn't. The freshmen who come in join that. And then you bring in a transfer like Mike Antico. I mean, how are you going to make all this mold together? There's only 9 guys on a lineup card. And how do you take all of these players and build the chemistry?
And that's, and remember when they molded them together and they said, this is our starters.
Yeah.
So the rest of you still have to continue to play and try to get better each and every day that you get out here. And they did. They didn't have a lot of guys. You didn't hear a lot of bitching and moaning. They just all played.
Yeah. And earn your spot and then stick with it. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Faltini's still a redshirt freshman. He's going to still be your shortstop. He made a hell of a play last night in that big fourth inning where they just were throwing the leather around. Doug Hodo is a young guy, redshirt freshman. So, yeah, the veterans will move on, but the core of this team.
Coming back again.
But, look, there's still a lot of baseball to be played. There's a lot to accomplish, and there's still plenty out there for the Longhorns to
I just look forward to the leadership that they have from guys, like you said, not just the veterans, but the young guys are like veterans themselves. They play like older guys. And once again, David Pierce, when you talk to him, he's given all kinds of credit to all his coaching staff, but man, I think he's a good skipper. There's something about that guy and just the way he goes about coaching, you know?
Yeah, well, and, you know, he gives credit to everyone else, but again, give credit to him for...
I mean, he's the one who has to hire people. He's the one who has to get things together.
Well, I'll give you something about this Texas baseball team, and it's Troy Tulowitzki. I mean, if you think about this guy played 13 years in Major League Baseball, right? He's from Long Beach State. He worked his way into becoming a first-round draft pick. I mean, he was not a highly recruited player coming out of high school, Troy Tulowitzki, but he busts his butt. He's a dirtbag at Long Beach State. He ends up a top 15 draft pick and then plays double-digit years,
right?
Made a ton of money. Now he's a volunteer coach at Texas. Like, he doesn't get paid.
Right.
But if you talk to anybody over there, he's the first guy there. He's the last guy to leave. He loves the game. He challenges those players. And so if you're a player, you're going, what's this? This guy, he's a volunteer coach. He could be sitting on a beach somewhere.
Playing golf every day.
Doing whatever he wants to do.
Right.
It was Greg Swindell, who was a volunteer coach at Texas back in 05 when they won the national title. He says, you know, this is a labor of love. I mean, this is, you're just there because you love the game.
Right.
And you love these players. That's a great example. I mean, if that guy can't show the way, because Troy can say to those guys, well, you know what, here's where you want to get. You know how you get there? Here's how you do that. You put it in the work. You put in the time. And, you know, he challenges those players in a good way. And I think you hear David Pierce glow about him. Heck, I've tried to get Troy on the show many times. He doesn't want to do interviews. Don't want to talk about it. He just wants to show up. And
I just wants to coach.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Doesn't want any part of the media, the conversation. He just wants to coach ball and be around the game. And he's a big influence on and a big impact on what that team's about. Hey, let's get to the headlines, your trending topics. And, oh, yeah, we got to get to our B&E. Thank you, Jay. Got to get to the B&E fact of the day. Let's hit it.
B&E Fact of the Day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
All right, Buck. It is B&E Fact of the Day time. How about Chris Paul? Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns in the midst of one of the most dominant stretches in recent playoff memory. They're the only team to take a 20-point lead in five straight playoff games in the last 25 seasons. Think about that. Think about that. The last 25 seasons, I'm not even going to make it a question because we're going to get to Ty Harrington after the headlines, but that was going to be the deal. But how about that? The Phoenix Suns have had a 20-point lead in five straight playoff games now, including last night's series clinching win over the Denver Nuggets. How about Chris Paul? How about CP3?
Yeah, how about
off pick and roll?
Double-digit leads going into the fourth quarter in every game, too.
That's unreal. Zay, Chris Paul. I mean, I'll pick and roll with DeAndre Ayton. He's floating through the lane. He's hitting these little step-back floaters. They've got no answer for him.
Yeah, I said on the Wagner Wire yesterday, if he gets a ring this year, he's a top-three point guard of all time.
Yeah. I mean, it's
if he gets a ring this year, that max contract that he had, he'll be up for another max contract. Will he get another max contract? Is that possible?
Yeah.
That's incredible. So there's your B&E fact of the day. 20-point lead in five straight playoff games. That's never happened before. Never happened before. What they're doing. They're not just winning, they're crushing, and now they're into the Western Conference Finals as the two seed. They'll face the winner of the Clippers-Utah series for a trip to the finals. Let's get to your other headlines, trending topics on a Monday morning. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and yeah, college baseball, game's most storied program. The Longhorns headed back to Omaha for a record 37th time. An emphatic 12-4 win over South Florida last night at a sold-out and raucous Dishwalk Field. Second-ranked Longhorns followed up that dramatic 4-3 win on Saturday night with a dominating performance last night. Tristan Stevens off to a bit of a slow start, gave up a couple runs early, but he went on to pitch 5 2/3 during the win. Cam Williams homered, scored four times. Trey Faltini, 2 for 3, drove in three. Mike Antico, 2 for 4, drove in a pair. Longhorns improved to 5-0 in the postseason for head coach David Pierce.
Well, I mean, just kind of the whole thing coming together. I mean, just watching our players just continue to just play hard, and man, I'm just so pumped for them. I mean, you know how we started, it was tough. They just put their head down, just keep working, and I don't know, I'm kind of speechless.
David Pierce speechless. Longhorns will be the highest ranked team in the field in Omaha. Arkansas, number one team in the land, upset by NC State in a super regional over the weekend. Longhorns, by the way, when they get to Omaha, will face the winner of today's Mississippi State and Notre Dame decider game in Starkville. Dallas Baptist faces Virginia as well today to decide that super regional. Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Arizona, and Stanford are also Omaha bound. NBA playoffs yesterday and last night, after dropping the first two games of their second round series with Brooklyn, the Milwaukee Bucks have roared back to even that series at a 2-each. 107-96, the final yesterday in Game 4. Nets are still dealing with more injury issues. Kyrie Irving rolled his ankle yesterday. Did not return to that game. He will be evaluated further today. James Harden already out for them in Brooklyn. Also yesterday, Phoenix Suns, we mentioned, completed a four-game sweep of Denver with a 125-118 win over the Nuggets. Chris Paul, 37, to lead the way. Major League Baseball, Michael Brantley had four hits, drove in four as part of a 20-hit attack. Astros beat the Twins 14-3. They take the rubber game of that three-game series. Rangers dropped the rubber game of their series with the LA Dodgers, 5-3 the final. And the Austin FC played to a 1-1 draw against Sporting KC over the weekend. That wraps up their eight-game season-opening road trip. They'll open up the new Q2 Stadium coming up this weekend, their debut here in Austin.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly from the busy weekend. Hope you had a good one. Bucky, props to you, my friend, for the Mullet Open. That was a blast. That was a blast. I know you have a lot of help and partners and sponsors.
A lot of teamwork right there. 6 months, 20 years, 6 months of the year is preparing for one day. But it's a big day, and it's a fun day.
It seems like you put on a wedding every year.
It's like having a wedding. No kidding. That's exactly right. All the invitees and everybody else. But there's a lot of help. A lot of people. Jancy Darling, of course, Darling Promotion. She did a great job. And it was a lot. It was a great opportunity to meet a lot of folks, Ida, we haven't even met. People that may want to just jump on this radio station and become sponsors, wanted to know what we were all about. The ladies were excited about being interviewed by you and BK. I sat there and listened to that interview.
The Austin Cocktails lady.
Boy, do they have an interesting story. And that thing is growing like nobody's. That thing is really growing.
I will just say, I went over to, Specs on Saturday?
Did you see what a four pack of that is?
No, but they were almost out. Like, we sold them out. Well, I don't know if we did it, but people love that product. But
yeah, that product's pretty good.
Because my wife had heard it and wanted to try them. And I was like, okay, well, I'll run over and get some. And they're almost out of the Austin cocktails.
It's a wonderful product, but you don't need to have three of those on a golf course because they're in 8-ounce cans and it looks kind of fun. Somebody told me, they said, you have three of those.
Well, it's like 12% booze, right?
Yeah, it's a margarita.
You like half of it and then mix it with some water.
Lots of water, yes.
All right, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. It's Coach's Corner time. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultations, avconsultations.com. And to talk some Texas baseball, another trip to Omaha. He is the former 20-year coach at Texas State University, former Longhorn, of course. He was at both games over the weekend. He's our good buddy Ty Harrington on the Vaqueros Hotline. Ty, how are you, bud?
Well, I'm fantastic. I'm like a lot of Longhorn fans right now. I'm excited, and man, what a great weekend! And I can't say again and again just how electric Dish Falk Field was. I just can't. It was so much fun, and you know, they earned every bit of, you know, so many fans being there and excited about it. And I made the rounds from left field up to the, you know, into the, you know, different tailgating areas just to experience it. And man, it was some kind of electric and fun in there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, the ball club itself, I mean, the one thing you can say, Ty, they're talented, but boy, they can respond to a punch. I mean, what we saw on Saturday night, coughing up the 3-0 lead in the ninth, only to respond with a run in their half. I mean, they don't back down when adversity strikes.
Well, you said it right. I mean, it's almost like a boxing match with these guys. They just sit in there and they'll take rib punches. They'll sit in there or they'll give it to you one way or another. Their offense just can beat you in so many ways, and I'm sure you guys talked about it already. They run the bases better than any team in college baseball, I think. And they have a chance to score in so many different ways, and you don't know how they're going to try to do it. Next thing you know, they hit you right in the nose with something, you know, and the way they, you know, go from first to third or they bunt. And I think Coach Pierce knows historically if they can score four, they've got a pretty good chance that they're going to go out there and win the game. And I just know you well enough to know. They talked about you talked about the defense, I'm sure. That fourth inning last night was like a signature inning for, you know, everybody was kind of like, oh, I think we might win. This is looking great. Oh, wait a minute, they're about to score. And then, oh, my gosh, their defense just takes over. And, again, I've said it, you know, 10, I'll say it 100. And it's fun for me. They have made playing defense sexy again in baseball. And I'm telling you, they are some kind of good at it.
You know, Ty, there was a time during the course of the season, towards the end of the season, where people had looked at this offensive team and talked about their base-running abilities. But it wasn't always good. It was all at times it was like, they make so many mistakes on base running. They shouldn't have done this. But in the long run, this team is very aggressive on the bases. They're willing to take chances. And in the long run, it seems to really do. It works out for them. They're aggressive. They make you have to make plays on them.
No, Bucky, that's unbelievable. Yeah, that's perfect. You couldn't have said it any better. That's right. Look, when you're aggressive and you're looking forward to take the next base, there's always risk involved. The risk reward, if you do it over the long haul, the reward outweighs the you know, what the risk may be when you can run like these guys can. And, you know, 1 through 9, and you could probably pick up one or two other guys on that team that play some too. They're fast. They're athletic. There's so many things they can do when they're cutting corners on those bases, trying to get to the next base. You know, they're athletic enough and speedy enough that they can do it, but they read ball and dirt and down angles so well. And again, I can't impose. People don't know when they're hitting. We had a ground ball through the middle last night, and Kennedy goes from first to third without even blinking an eye. And nobody even, I mean, he was standing almost on third base when the center fielder comes up and finally closes down on it to get the ball. And they just, that changes the game, and it creates another opportunity for how they're going to either safety squeeze or sack fly, you know, to get the next guy in when they go, you know, with less than two outs. And so you're right. It's aggressive. There is risk in it. And once in a while, you'll hear some of the fans get upset about it. But the reality is they went back in their mind and looked at the reward for what these guys have gotten out of it and how many runs they've scored has been unbelievable.
Yeah, the game winner on Saturday night, Silas Ardron from first on the ball over the center fielder's head. That's your catcher going from first to home, cutting those bases, as Ty Harrington mentioned. Ty Harrington is with us, 20 years, the head coach at Texas State. He was a captain on the Texas team that went to the College World Series in 1987. Coach, you mentioned the defense, and I know I was texting you about it because I was coming out of my seat in the fourth inning. It's 6-2. But it looks like South Florida's about to put a big number on the board. I mean, they've got first and second, nobody out. And the first play was Trey Faltini deep into the hole at short from his rear end, throws him out at third. It's the only play he had, but he gets the out, cuts down the lead runner. Then Mike Antico makes a play in center field where he cuts down a ball in the gap with a little scoop play. I don't even know how he made that play. Ball gets to the gap, everybody scores. Instead, he allows just one run. And then Tristan Stevens makes the play, you know, off the pitcher's mound to get the player at home. I mean, those are three high-level ball plays in one inning that turned what could have been a 5- or 6-run inning into a 1-run inning, and the Longhorns still had a 3-run lead.
It was unbelievable. And Faltini's play shows, number one, his athleticism. I mean, he's shown it all year. I mean, if you're a fan, you've seen it all year, but It even surprised the umpire. If you go back and look, the umpire didn't know what to call because he's like, wait a minute, was that a force or was it a tag play? And then you're right. And Tico, they have so much speed in the outfield altogether between he and Hodo and Kennedy. But Tico makes a short hot pick on the run and turns and fires the ball in to hold the runner in there. And then, of course, Stevens explodes off the mound knowing it was a 9-hole hitter, knowing there was a chance that they were going to safety right there and try to, you know, cut the lead down, came off the mound, something you work on all the time, and I know they do, but to actually execute it in that moment with Omaha, you know, on the horizon, I thought was just, you know, again, these guys have played defense all year long, and it has just been a lot of fun to watch. And if teams want to figure out, yeah, how you really want to win, go get the arms that these guys got, and go get the defense these guys are playing. And because, look, they just keep running arm after arm after arm out there at you and just keep playing defense. And I think if you score four, you got a chance to go win a game every time with these guys out there right now.
Ty, for fans, like for myself and not Hogan, he's a baseball guy, so he knows better. But for fans, for the general fans that are watching college baseball, and, you know, not everybody follows college baseball, but is this a deal where if you're a player, you're not scoreboard watching like I am? I'm looking at Arkansas's out. Now I'm looking at the teams that were won and whatever it is and, you know, looking forward to the next group that gets kicked out of this thing. So it makes it even easier for Texas. How do you view that as a coach? You don't look and say, well, Arkansas's out. Now we really have a chance. Is it just play-by-play, game-by-game, pitch-by-pitch, the whole works like, you know, the old cliches?
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to. You don't want any kind of peripheral, you know, excitement or ideas or thoughts to climb into what has been a laser-focused mm-hmm. team all year long. And so you want to protect against it, but the humanity of it, every once in a while you kind of look at it and go, all right, well, you're right. Arkansas is out. You know, the opportunity is. It gets a little bit better for us. You know, I mean, I, again, Florida got knocked out, and, you know, South Florida, who I thought did an admirable job and played well and played well on Saturday. But, you know, I mean, you look at it some and you think about it, but when it gets right down to it, this bunch right here, I'll be so shocked if this bunch doesn't show up tomorrow afternoon after a day off today, I'm sure, just doing the exact same things they've been doing all year long. You know, why change anything right now? And these guys have been laser focused. The staff is. The coaches have been. They've done an unreal job with these guys. But these guys, these players, have driven their motors, and they got their foot on the accelerator right now. I don't see them letting it off and letting anything distract them right now.
Be interesting to see. And I know you've said to us before, Ty, if they can get to Omaha, which they've now achieved, the ball club is kind of built for that ballpark. You know, when you were there, they played down at Rosenblatt, which was more of a hitter's park. I mean, this is a pitcher's park and a pitcher's and defense park that plays well to what Texas, you just talked about, what they do. They choke out runs, they choke out bases, and then they take extra bases offensively, aggressively. That's the type of team that can get there and not just play, but play and do some damage in Omaha.
Well, you always want to have an offensive team that can score in any kind of element. Wind blowing in, wind blowing out, whatever it might be, you know. But I just think they really set up. It is a pitching and defensive type ballpark now. That wind comes straight through downtown, right through the middle of the field. And I just think, I don't know if it's me, you know, wanting or hoping more than anything else, but I do believe it. I just think these guys set up beautifully for the way Omaha sets up right now. And, man, E and Bucky, these guys, they just got so much momentum, and they are so locked in. And when, you know, their arms just keep coming at you and keep pounding on you, and they don't give up big innings. They don't give up crooked numbers. And I just think these guys really right now are feeling the momentum. I think the ballpark, I think the setting. I would put these guys up against anybody right now in the country, which is what's fixing to happen starting this weekend.
Ty, we appreciate it, my friend. I'm glad you enjoyed the ball games. I mean, electric atmosphere. It was harking you back to your days back in the day with the crowd and the cannon and everybody having a great time. Appreciate your perspective always, and I know our audience does as well.
Thank you, Coach.
Well, I tell you, yeah, you got it. And let me tell you what, Coach Gus came in on Saturday night.
Oh.
And watched the games as well, and a lot of our ex-players were there, and it was a special night. That was really special for a lot of us guys who played for him, and a lot of current players were there as well, and, I mean, it was a – everywhere you went, there was a former player. But to see Coach Gus out and about was special as well. He and Coach Bethea were there. Coach Graham was there, who I don't like a lot of people know as a coach at Rice, but he was also a former player at the University of Texas. So a lot of former players there this weekend, and they're super proud. Hey, let me tell you what, it is University of Texas in Omaha for that very reason.
They're exactly right. It's exactly right. A tradition passed down generation to generation, and this one living up to it. Ty, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Coach.
Have a great week.
All right, gentlemen.
We'll check in with Ty again before the week, once we know who the Longhorns will play. The Longhorns are on the side of the bracket. They're going to play. We already know their first game will be Saturday, Buck. I mean, the schedule will come out. Saturday will be their first game, and they're going to be in a four-team, essentially regional. When you get to Omaha, you got four of us on one side, four on the other. Texas is going to be there with the winner of today's Notre Dame-Mississippi State game, and that'll be the Longhorn first game. So if you're watching that game today, Notre Dame-Mississippi State, whoever wins that will be the Longhorns' first opponent. Dallas Baptist will also be on that side of the bracket. They're going to play, or Dallas Baptist Virginia winner will be there, as well as Tennessee.
All right, give me the scoop on this. Are these now one-and-done games? You lose,
no.
You go home?
No.
Still best two out of three?
No, it'll play out in Omaha just like it played out
the first time.
Right. Remember,
okay.
The Longhorns had the four-team regional with Arizona State.
So it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. You get there, okay. And you are one of four teams, the double elimination.
Okay.
And both sides of the bracket do that, right? I mean, we know on the other side of the bracket, there's Vanderbilt, Arizona, Stanford on that side. Are already over, and NC State, who upset Arkansas. Those four will play off in a super regional or regional essentially on that side, but double elimination.
That's two in barbecue?
Yes, exactly. You got to lose twice.
Yes.
Could be knocked out. Texas will be there with either Mississippi State, Notre Dame, Tennessee, and then the winner of today's Dallas Baptist Virginia game. And then whoever comes out of both brackets, much like the super regional, they'll play a best of three. Double elimination, two out of three game against whoever comes out of that other side. Right now, Stanford is red hot. Arizona looks great. Vanderbilt is locked and loaded. But Texas doesn't have to worry about those teams until they would get to a championship. Right now, you're worried about your side of the four-team bracket. And so Texas will find out. I mean, the only half of theirs is full now. Texas and Tennessee are in. The other two will be filled today.
Okay.
All right, we'll come back when we do your thoughts. If you were a part of that electric atmosphere at the Dish, love to hear from you on it. This Texas team is headed back to Omaha for the 37th time. We also got the other good, bad, and ugly from the busy weekend here in Central Texas. B&E, live, local, and digital. Bringing it strong on a Monday. We're streaming on your smart speaker. We're streaming on your Horn app, and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
From the stretch, the 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out for the 37th time. in its history more than any other school in the nation. The Texas Longhorns are going to the College World Series. The Longhorns defeat South Florida, and they are Omaha bound in 2021.
Craig Way with the call last night right here on the Horn. Longhorns 12-4 with victors after a 4-3 victory and a thriller on Saturday night. Easy street last night for Texas as they pull away and dominate the South Florida Bulls. And as Craig just said, they're on their way to Omaha for the 37th time. As we say, they'll be in a four-team double elimination regional when they get there, or situation when they get there, with the winner of today's Notre Dame-Mississippi State game. Dallas Baptist will play Virginia today for a trip to Omaha, and Tennessee is already there. So almost the entire field done. Just two teams remaining. Six are in, two to be decided. And as we said, the headline, Arkansas out. Number one team in the land, beaten by NC State over the weekend.
You know, the guy who sent me the zucchini bread is Wally Erickson.
Nice.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. I appreciate that. Appreciate that zucchini bread for like 20 years. Gets better and better each and every year.
I've never had zucchini bread.
It's here.
Okay.
Well, not quite as sweet as here. Yeah, it's right here.
At the radio station, so yeah. I can go eat some?
Oh, that's why I asked. I think, you, how long will it last here? Not long. But it's in the kitchen. I've had my piece of it this morning with my coffee, and not quite as sweet as banana bread, but very similar in taste to banana bread, because I love me some banana bread.
I do like banana bread. My mother makes a nice banana bread all the time. You know, as the bananas start to go, like they start to look brown, she'll just make some banana
bread. That's when you do it.
That's when you do it.
There you go.
Don't waste the bananas. Make some bread. That's what I'm saying. We're taking your good, your bad, and your ugly from the busy weekend, including the Longhorns to Omaha. That's part of the good. Chris Paul and the Suns, that's part of the good. Bad would be the Brooklyn Nets. More injuries, Buck. They looked dominant in games one and two. But it's always been said that a seven-game series isn't really a series until a home team loses a game. And that hasn't happened in that series yet. So, you know, the home teams have held serve. Bucks and Brooklyn are 2-2. Suns sweep Denver, who were really no match without Jamal Murray. They didn't have much for Phoenix. And the Clippers and the...
Dude, how about the Clippers?
How about the Clippers?
Paul George and KY. I mean, those two guys
Stop
together.
Stop with the KY.
You know, he...
It's Kawhi.
It's not KY? It's Kawhi. Okay, well. There's another guy, when he wants to pour it on, can really really make things work. And I still love the 15-foot jumper. And I'm watching it with Chris Paul and Kawhi. I'm watching those both those guys, once they get in the paint and once they get just outside the paint or at the free throw line, they make those little 15-foot jumpers. It seems like they make them 75% of the time, 80% of the time. It's going down. And they don't spend their time. Now, Kawhi can shoot the three, and I guess Chris Paul can. He can too. But he loves to be in the paint, Zay. He loves those little floaters at 15 and banks them and does all kinds of stuff with that ball inside that paint area.
Yeah, and that's playoff basketball. I know during the regular season, you know, you don't see as much mid-range.
No, game, you don't.
But in the playoffs, when the game slows down and becomes, you know, basically a half-court game, you got to have players who are able to hit that mid-range shot. And your best players have to be able to hit that mid-range shot. Like the role players, they could be fine as 3-and-D guys, mm-hmm. but if you don't have a superstar or your number one guy that can hit the mid-range shot consistently, you won't go far in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, playoffs are about stops, right? I mean, I think playoffs in every sport, when you get to that level, it's about, in pitching, it's about can you get those big outs late and finish a deal. And in basketball or football, it's about getting stops. You got to be able to get stop people from scoring. And playoff stops are huge, and then playoff buckets are huge. And Chris Paul is doing both. And then Phoenix looks legit. DeAndre Ayton has really emerged, and that's a handful, Zay. When DeAndre Ayton runs the pick and roll with Chris Paul. That dude sets a mean pick, and then Chris just kind of floats through the lane and figures out where he wants to go, and there's no shot he can't make. I mean, he's falling backwards. He's doing little teardrops. He has just been a problem for the Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and if you don't have a big that can move on the pick and roll, which, again, that's why Jericho Sims, it's very smart for him to keep his name in the draft, because I'm watching all these big men who can't keep up with guards because they're too slow-footed, and that's what Jericho excels at. So, you know, guys like Chris Paul, who just took advantage of the MVP because, again, he's slow-footed, once you get into that mid-range, man, you're dangerous.
Ayton, what year was he out? What superstars came out that are playing in this deal?
Luka. Trae Young.
He's as good as he's as good pick, as yep. Yeah, he's damn, is he good?
Yeah, well, he was at Arizona for the 1 year university.
Getting paid.
That's on tape.
Yeah, he's getting paid.
That's on tape.
He's been a pro for a long time. Since high school.
He's been a pro. well, for professional for mm-hmm. sure. For sure. I did see over the weekend, the Aaron Rodgers saga continues in the NFL. This is good, bad, and ugly. How about the president of the Green Bay Packers, who tossed some gasoline onto the Aaron Rodgers fire? Thursday, their president, team president, Mark Murphy, described the disgruntled quarterback as, quote, a complicated fella.
Yeah, that dude's gone. I'm telling you, they're already starting to say, you know what? He's not, we got it. He's not coming back. Let's start making plans on not seeing Aaron Rodgers. If he shows up, that is great for us. If he doesn't show up, but let's just not sit back and let Aaron Rodgers throw shots at us anymore. If he wants to play, if he doesn't want to play for us, then he won't play.
Yeah.
Then he won't play. That's they're kind of now done with all that stuff, it looks like. They're done kissing his ass. They're done saying, hey, Aaron Rodgers this. No, he's a weird dude.
Yeah, complicated fella.
Yeah,
we'll go with
complicated
that.
Is called, that's being weird. That's what they're saying.
He is complicated. Because when you dig into the Aaron Rodgers thing, okay, what's the problem? He's come out and he says it's not about Jordan Love, the quarterback who they drafted. It's not about that pick. It's not about his teammates. It's not about the general manager. It's not. Well, what is it about then?
That's what I said. What do you want us to do now? Aaron, okay, we have made a mistake. We screwed this thing up so many different ways. Maybe our old styles have been but you were part of that when we had these other quarterbacks. You understood where we were going. Okay, we haven't come out of the dark ages. It's our fault. We understand we've made a mistake. Okay, what do you want us to do now? The mistakes have been made. Are you just going to sit around talking about us, how bad we are? Are you going to play for us? What are you going to do?
That's the whole thing. He's a complicated fella. I believe he just wants to play in California. I mean, he wanted to engineer a trade to San Francisco, which kind of was his goal. And now he wants, but now he's kind of boxed himself into, okay, what's the deal, bud? I mean, where are you? It's not about your teammates, not about Jordan Love, it's not about the GM.
You love your teammates.
And now it's almost like, he's got former teammates who are talking for him. He had a former, who was the receiver, Jones? Who did an interview who said he thinks it's about the cutthroat nature of the Packers, that they just kind of let good players. Well, this is the NFL, dude. I mean, do you think Bill Belichick has heartwarming goodbyes for all the players that he cuts loose?
The greatest quarterback ever to play?
Yeah. I mean, this is a business. This is how this works. Yes, you draft players to prepare for the eventual, this is what you do. There's not some
Yeah, I mean, he just sounds like they're not going to play football this year because of him. Well, we're not going to have any games. Because Aaron Rodgers is not going to be our quarterback, guess what? We have to cancel the season. They're not going to cancel the season.
He just doesn't want to be there, and he doesn't have a good reason why. They're a good team. They're almost a Super Bowl-caliber team. He's a great player. But, the idea that he's insinuating that, well, this is about the way it's cold, and they just let players go, and they don't get their day in the sun. What are you talking about? This is the National Football League. Of course teams are going to draft your replacement. That's what they do at every position. That's how you build a good organization. Good organizations plan, as we get cap heavy, as players get older, we're going to draft the replacement at every position.
And they're going to call his bluff. That's what they're going to do. Okay.
Ridiculous.
Okay, so what are you going to do then? We're not trading you. Hey, good luck in California this year.
So at the end of the day, this complicated fellow Aaron Rodgers, his real problem is that they're mean. They're mean and not nice. When they let my good friends leave, when they cut our players or they move on from players, they do it in a
cold
way.
This is cutthroat. This is cutthroat.
Okay. Welcome to the NFL.
He does get paid, right? He did get paid for all his services, right?
Handsomely. Over the last 2018, 2019, the guy made like almost $100 million over a couple of seasons.
Yeah, but he's been mad and complaining about this for like a year now. Okay, we got it. They got it. They screwed up. Can we move on? Do you need some extra money? Do you need some extra time? But I know this. I got a feeling that this team, the Green Bay Packers, they're going to be around a lot longer than Aaron Rodgers. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to play this season with or without him.
Yeah. Well, and that's look, you just said it with Tom Brady. If any player deserved to go out on his own terms, it was Tom Brady, but he didn't.
No.
Right? I mean, with New England, because New England was planning for the future, and whether that's right or wrong, it's just, that's how the business operates. You you're only in it for a certain amount of time, and they draft your replacement, and you move on, and they bring in a younger player.
And guys, I believe there are going to be more people out of his corner than in his corner.
Well, I think it's going that direction.
Yeah.
And now, can he engineer a trade? I mean, there are a lot of reports that Denver is still the number one, you know, possibility, that the Broncos are still planning on a deal. We'll see. We'll see where that goes. Will that make him happy? I don't know. He's a complicated fellow.
He's a complicated? Yeah, that's right.
He'll get to Denver and be like, ooh, you guys are mean too.
Once he finds out.
Yeah. What do you know? All right, we'll be back. When we do, we will continue these conversations. Isaiah Collier will lead us through the hot or not topics, things we've missed halfway through the program on a Red Hot Monday on B&E. It is live, it is local, it is digital. We're streaming on your smart speaker, on your Horn app, and always at hornfm.com.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
All right, great scene out at the Dish last night and over the weekend. How about Longhorn Athletic Director Chris Del Conte out with the Occupy left field crew taking jello shots? That was interesting. And he said, Chris Del Conte tweeted, Occupy left field and the entire crew embody the spirit, passion, and energy that make Texas truly special. As for the jello shot, sorry, Mom, but the occasion called for such a celebration.
Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Oh, man. And you got Chris Beard over there firing the cannon, getting everybody geeked up. That was a cool scene last night. Longhorns are Omaha bound. And as this guy says on the text line, and Texas does not dogpile after winning the Super. We aren't here for Omaha. We aren't here for an Omaha ticket. Like the rest of the teams, we want to take it all.
That's right.
When we'll dogpile.
Absolutely.
Well, we'll see. They do have a lot of qualities you like about a ball club that not just can get to Omaha, but can do damage once they get there. We'll do a lot of things well. Isaiah Collier is our producer. He was floating in the Lazy River over the weekend at the Mullet Open. Did you get some sunshine time, Zay? Getting the Lazy River, a little cocktail? That's all good.
Oh, yeah. I think I got a shade darker, but I'm good.
Smooth. I was trying my best.
Dude. We started, you know, you played the scramble. We started, our first hole was number 17, the par 3 at Wolf Dancer.
Not easy, but there's nothing easy about it.
But it's, Wolf Dancer, so it's par 3, then par 5. But so the point would be, we wrapped up back around at 15 and 16, which at that time of the day was the hottest place in the world.
It was. Yeah, it's like being at Terra Lingua.
Oh. Because like Wolf Dance is like three different courses. There's like the links area where you're up high and the wind's blowing.
Yeah, the
wind's
nice. Yeah.
No. 15, 16, still, it was the hottest place in the world.
Yeah, once you get
past. And by the way, it's right next to the Lazy River, so you're looking over there going, please.
Yeah, and you can feel
please, let me in the tube.
And you can feel the heat coming off the Colorado River down there, too.
Yeah. Oh, man, but what a good time. Zay, what are you having, hot or not, buddy?
Thanks, E. So, y'all know I'm petty. Y'all know not.
Yes, you are.
Scorn me, or I'll hold it against you for a long time, but I'm not this petty. As petty as Glenn Big Baby Davis. And if you could recall Kyrie Irving stomping on Lucky, the leprechaun for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
After the Nets eliminated the Celtics in the playoffs. And yesterday, Kyrie got injured, hurt the ankle.
Not the same ankle. Different one.
Yeah, when Giannis stuck his big foot underneath him.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they should have took a look at that, but
yeah.
That's here or there. But Glenn Big Baby Davis tweeted out, that's the same ankle he stopped on Lucky
karma.
Yeah, basically saying that's karma. And yeah, I'm not with this. I don't like injuries, but how do you guys feel about Glenn?
Yeah, well, I'm not with the karma, but I'm with Giannis sticking that big foot.
You think he did it on purpose? Think that was intentional?
I don't know. I can't say what's in a guy's heart or in his mind, but it looks suspect to me, Zay. Why is that foot sliding right there where you know that dude is? He's, as soon as he went up, the foot started to make its move over there. And that's like you talking about cheap shots. It's almost like if a guy comes and hits you in the nads, you know what? I can even go with that.
In the jewels?
I can go with the jewels. But when you put your foot under another guy's ankle in basketball and you know he's coming down, that's
it hurts to think about. I've done that so many
times. That's not good. You know what I mean? That's
oof.
And I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but it
sounds like you're saying he did it on purpose.
No, I don't know. You think, Zay, did you watch it? You kind of saw a little bit of that.
I did, and it's tough when you're under the basket.
And your size, 22 or whatever? and your foot takes up half the lane.
Yeah, it's tough. I remember back in the 2000 finals where Jalen Rose admitted that he was trying to hurt Kobe Bryant, and Kobe did get hurt, but clearly the Lakers still won. And yeah, I thought about that yesterday. I don't know if Giannis was, it was intentional, but I'm with you, Buck. It was a little sus.
He got big feet.
Ooh, I like the little sus. Yeah. I will say I do believe in karma. And, you know, did he need to be stomping on Lucky the Leprechaun? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. Now look what happens to you. And I'll say this for Kyrie Irving. He's kind of like the Aaron Rodgers conversation. He's a complicated fella.
He's complicated.
He's a complicated fella.
Well, they're going to need Kevin Durant to score 50 if those other two guys not playing.
I think Harden's close to being back, is he not? Now, you got to be careful with him because it's that hamstring could go at any time. But, yeah, I mean, it's wide open because Milwaukee has battled back. All right, good, bad, and ugly on a Monday. What was good for you over the weekend? What was bad? What was ugly? We've got a lot coming up this week as well. Longhorns are headed to Omaha. That'll be a lot of fun. Austin FC will open up and play their first home game this week. Get you details on that. And, oh, yeah, Thursday, Buck, the United States Open tees off at Torrey Pines. Got some pretty good stuff coming here in the month of June and this week in June. But we're coming back to recap the Longhorns' victory. They're on their way to Omaha. We'll get you details on that, plus the other good, bad, and ugly from the busy weekend. Live, local, and digital. Always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and you know we're always there at hornfm.com.